I tell you what, that girl's got rhythm. Do you see that?
I love it.
Man,
I love
I'm looking at the cutest 18-month-old girl across the glass, and she's bobbing her head to that Bob Enyart music. Way to go. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm distracted.
Can we get her to do the show today, Doug?
I am not Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host, and the pastor of Denver Bible Church. My name is Doug McBurney.
And I am definitely not Bob Enyart, but I am his brother, Brian.
You're almost Bob Enyart.
I am.
You're genetically very close to Bob Enyart.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you.
So glad to have you here, Brian.
Thank you.
So distracted by this beautiful little girl, Kaylin, who's sitting across the glass.
And her dad.
It was so funny. When they rolled the music, she started bopping. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Anyway, I tell you what. Our church produces some of the most fabulous children that you've ever seen.
Amen.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. If you haven't visited Denver Bible Church and you want to come out and just see some great-looking children, just to be motivated by that. You know, I believe, Brian, that that's the only reason Jesus hasn't returned and destroyed all the wicked people and taken over the world is for the sake of the children. He sees all these beautiful young children with all this potential, like little Kaylin there, and that's what causes the Lord to tarry.
Grace.
Because if he was just thinking about the adults in the world, myself included, he would come back and wipe this whole thing out and start over again.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But
on
it's little girls like that.
Yeah.
Oh man. Anyway,
I got three little grandchildren of my own.
Yeah.
And they are just beautiful.
And you have some kids of your own too, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, if you have
now, my kids are grown. They're in the adult category.
Okay, so
my youngest just passed the 21 mark this last year.
Is that
so
right?
My three kids are all adults, but my grandkids. Wow, yeah. That's great.
Now, are any of your kids in jail or living in your basement?
All of them are in jail. No, no, no.
You know, that's the measure.
Their dad might be going to jail, but none of the kids are in
jail. You're in jail more often than they
yeah.
are.
Amen.
And that's only when you're arrested for doing activities that are related to the pro-life movement on behalf of the persons who are an underclass. There's an underclass in America right now.
Yeah.
And it's unborn children. They've been declared non-persons by the Supreme Court and by the state governments. And so quite often you're out there speaking up for them.
What I've been telling people lately is that for years I called the babies, I'd call them babies and unborn children.
Very good.
I said, you know, it's better than the pro-abortion side calling them zygotes and fertilized eggs and the things that they want to call them.
Yeah.
But I said, until we stamp each one of them on the forehead with the title of person, they're not going to be protected under the law.
That's right.
I said, unborn children, great. Babies, yes, definitely.
Like,
but person, that's where the protection comes in, and that's what we need. We need to stamp each one of these babies with the title person, and then they're going to be protected under the law the same way you and I are protected.
That's right. So, you know, the tagline for the personhood movement is that all children should be protected by love and by law. Now, the protection by love, that's really up to you and I,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Up to each individual to protect a child by love. The goal of the personhood movement is that they be protected by law.
By law.
We want them protected by law because that's the way to preserve their lives and to prevent mothers from, frankly, becoming murderers of their own children.
Mm.
Now, the personhood movement, speaking of that, Brian, big news. There is now 30 states.
30?
30. Now, there are over 40 states with personhood committees, but 30 states are now actively pursuing either legislation or ballot initiatives for personhood laws in the various states. And I've got some quotes here from a gentleman out at the Thomas More Law Center. And this guy, his name is Robert Muse. He says pro-lifers should make personhood their main strategy. He says whatever efforts went into passing the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act back in 2003, he says those efforts should be doubled for the personhood movement. And he said that... He said some religious and pro-life groups have opposed recent personhood efforts. Now, this is a guy working for the Thomas More Law Center, so he's a legally astute fellow, unlike myself.
Well, I found, talking to many hundreds of people out there, that the Catholics are getting fired up when I tell them that the bishop and the archbishop are not for us. They're getting fired up. People hearing that Focus on the Family is not on board completely with us.
Right.
They're getting fired up. So there's lots of individuals out there who are getting the message that the personhood is the way to success, the way to stop this abortion holocaust against the unborn.
Well, there are a lot of politically and legally astute people, Brian, who have not yet got on board for personhood, and Mr. Muse addresses them in this article that I found. I forgot to write down where I got this article. It was from a pro-life news site, Christian Post. The Christian Post, thank you very much. So he says, some religious and pro-life groups have opposed recent efforts to move forward with personhood amendments, saying the time isn't right or that such measures could prompt a, quote, super abortion right.
Now, that would be killing the kids twice?
I'm not sure what they mean by killing
each one three times?
Well, what the legally astute say, Brian, is that if we lose, if we introduce a law, let's say in the state of Colorado, the great state of Colorado introduces a law that assigns legal personhood to unborn children, and then that's overturned in the courts, for example, or somehow we lose, that somehow that codifies abortion in law even more firmly than it is today. And I'm not sure how that could be, since any woman who wants an abortion anytime can get one virtually anywhere.
Even when she's pregnant, third trimester, Doug?
Well, they can't get that in Wichita anymore. Okay. But there are late-term abortions. They can go to Boulder, Colorado, to Warren Hearn, and they can get a late-term abortion there. Now, so virtually any woman can get an abortion anytime for any reason. Mm.
This reminds me of the argument that I've heard that if we get personhood passed, that women are actually going to be prosecuted for having a miscarriage.
Ridiculous.
That's the ridiculousness of some of the arguments out there.
Well, so there's a lot of scare tactics.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Mr. Muse addresses these people who are not on board yet. And you notice how I say that. I don't say that they're our enemies. I don't say that they're against us. They simply haven't seen the light yet. And here's the thing, Brian. I'm a simple fellow. I never went to university. So when I heard that there were pro-life people in Colorado who wanted to enact a law that would declare an unborn child as a person, I responded perhaps emotionally. And I thought, wow, that's the right thing to do. I'm on board with that. Let me write them a check and let me do some volunteer work for them. But if I was more religiously and politically and legally astute, I might have thought and stopped and thought about, well, wait a minute, that sounds right, but let me go through my legal texts and let me consult my education.
Is it the right time?
Is it the right time? Let me think about the political strategery that could be involved here. But being a simple fellow, I just thought this is the right thing to do. I want to do it.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it ever since, and I know you have as well.
It's always the right time to do the right
thing. Well, here's what Mr. Muse says. He says pro-lifers can't wait on a pro-life administration in the White House or Congress. They've already been there and done that. With George W. Bush, despite his pro-life agenda, abortion continued. And he closes by saying, by quoting the great Brian Enyart, it's always the right time.
I was one of the people
to do the right
that
thing.
Was fooled by George Bush. I was one of the people.
You're not going to admit that you voted for George Bush on the
air. I was one of the people that was fooled. That's all I'll say right now.
Wow.
I was one of the people that was fooled. So.
Okay, well, you know what?
Apologies to everyone.
I can...
Hey, the last go-around, I voted for Alan Keyes.
Yeah.
So.
Me too.
Yeah, I voted
all
for
right.
Alan Keyes.
So you're coming around. You're doing much better.
I'm learning.
So we can forgive you then for voting for George W.
I didn't
Bush.
Say I voted for him.
Oh, you didn't?
I said I apologize because he did trick me. I thought he was pro-life.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Well,
I'll have to check my voting record.
You're coming around. So here's the Thomas More Law Center, which is a... an esteemed, vaunted fount of legal opinion, is on board with personhood, and we're thankful for the sensible statements of Robert Muse there to motivate people. Now, speaking of being motivated, we're down to crunch time here. It's the 29th day of January.
How much more time do we have with the personhood petition drive?
Personhood petitions, if you're carrying a petition, they must be mailed. If you're going to mail them in, they must be mailed by Monday, February 8th. Mm-hmm. You have to get them in the mail by Monday, February 8th.
Is there anything else that we need to do before we put them in the mail?
They have to be notarized.
Oh, okay. And how do we do that?
You can go to a bank.
Okay.
Or you can go and find a local notary public. They're all over the place.
All right.
But a bank is a good bet.
How much does that cost to get them notarized?
It's free.
It's free.
They might want you to open a checking account, but then they might give you a toaster. So you could
get a $50.
Yeah, you could get a toaster or $50 out of the deal.
All right.
But notary is a free service that is found all over the place. Is the bank the best place? Is there other places that I'm not aware of? The bank's your best bet. Get it notarized.
Now, what if you are a notary, Doug? What can you do at that point? If you, you are a notary, can you notarize your own petition?
No.
No.
A notary can't notarize their own. But here's what a notary could do if you are a notary. Call Colorado Right to Life because we're going to be planning petition turn-in parties where we'll have vast amounts of petitions turned in. If you are a notary, call and offer your services to come to one of our turn-in parties. The number at Colorado Right to Life, by the way, is 303-753-9394. Of course, you can go to coloradorighttolife.com, get the information there on how to contact us. If you're a notary, volunteer your services. If you're a petition carrier, you should turn in your you should get your petition notarized today, tomorrow morning at the latest, and send it in. And ask for another one. Even if it's only half full, send them in. We need petitions coming in every day so that we have a sense of where we are. And you can ask for another one as soon as you put it in the mail. Call up Colorado Right to Life at 303-753-9394. Ask for another petition so that they'll cross in the mail and you'll be out there with a new petition and you can get that filled up.
Doug, what do we do if you know, if someone out there says, but I can only get two or three or four signatures? Would it be worthwhile for them to get a petition and to go out and get their two or three or four signatures? Well, do we need signatures?
Well, think of it this way. If you're only going to get one signature from them,
yeah,
and they take a petition, they get one more, they've just increased 100%.
They've doubled it.
If they get five more, if they get 10 more, we need every signature, every single one. And, Brian, I want you – I've watched you, and it's been amazing, frankly, to see the tactics you use in increasing the return on petition signatures that you get. Can you tell me – what you would say to the average person at an event as they approached you and you wanted to get them to sign the petition? Just take me through that.
Well, first of all, we want to get the signature on the petition.
Yeah.
So I asked them if they're a registered voter in Colorado because it's a statewide initiative.
Good.
And they have to be a registered voter.
Right.
If they tell me they are, the next question is, would you sign a pro-life petition?
Very good.
If they say yes, or sometimes they'll say, let me look at the wording.
Yeah.
They at that point, you know if they're pro-life, if they're not. If they're a pro-abort, they walk away.
Yeah.
If they're a pro-lifer, they stick around. They want to read what
we're
talking
about. Yeah, let me see what I'm signing. Let me read the wording. Which,
exactly.
Which is great that it only takes about 11 seconds to read the whole thing.
Exactly. So it's a simple sentence, and basically we want to take the term person and apply it to every person from the beginning of their biological development. And that's what I tell people. Now, when I see them signing and I see a sparkle in their eye, and I say, would you like to see that question on the ballot in November? This November, would you like to see that on the ballot?
And they say, yeah.
If they say yes, I say, would you really like to see that question on the ballot? When they answer yes the second time, I ask them, would you be willing to take a blank petition? Would you be willing to help us double and triple and quadruple our efforts? Because you could take a petition as well as I can, and now there's two of us out there asking people to sign. And you know what? I'm not going to meet the people, and I don't know the people that you do know. I said, we need 76,000 signatures plus.
Yeah.
And if you can go and and turn your one signature on my petition into 10 more, I said – if we could do that hundreds of times, we're going to have more than enough signatures.
Wow. So a message. Now, this is an inspiration for me because when we go off the air today, I'm going to be going down to a local shopping area, and I'm going to be gathering signatures.
Yeah.
And so I'm challenging myself. As I sit with you right now, I'm going to challenge myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to hand out at least one blank petition today. I'm not going to leave there until I hand out at least one blank petition.
Well, I could tell you that when you meet a pro-life person and they say they want to see that question on the ballot, I will guarantee that half of those people that say, yes, I really want to see that question on the ballot, will say, yes, I will help. I will take a blank petition. And I basically, at that point, they're helping with a historical movement to protect the unborn. I say, do you want to be a part of this? Do you want to be a part of speaking up and stopping this abortion? I said, would you like Colorado to be the first state to stop abortion?
Wow.
Would that be great if we could protect the unborn right here, right now? And how much greater would it be if you helped?
Yeah.
If I helped and we were involved in this.
So do people want to be a part of the most significant human rights movement, certainly in the history of our state? Certainly in the history of our nation, quite possibly in the history of all recorded human history, the most significant human rights effort. I think I could motivate someone. I want to challenge the petition carriers out there who are within the sound of my voice today when you're gathering signatures, tomorrow when you're gathering signatures, make a commitment, challenge yourself to hand out at least one blank petition, even if it means only one more, or 10 more, or 20 more signatures. If hundreds and the thousands who are out there carrying petitions, if every one of us will challenge ourselves to meet that goal, we can double our efforts, quadruple our efforts, exponentially increase the return of signatures that we bring in, because we're coming down to the end here. And I've got to tell you, I'm nervous. I'm nervous that failure is not an option in my book.
It's not an option.
It's not. And if this were to fail, I would be depressed. Okay, for a while. So yeah. And I don't want that. And I would feel that I personally failed.
Well, I could tell you that when I was on the phone this morning calling some of the people, because when I give them a blank petition, yeah. I do three things. I take the petition number. I take their first name, and I take their contact phone number.
Wow. Now, great idea.
I want to see how they're doing. I want to encourage them, and I want to remind them that it has to be notarized and back in the mail by February 7th. And if it is, even if they have only one signature, it's going to count.
Yeah.
And it's going to help us get that question on the ballot in November.
All right. So for our petition carriers out there, write down the petition number that you give them. Get their name. And get their phone number so we can follow up with them, say, the weekend of February 6th and 7th and say, hey, you've got to mail that in on the 8th.
Now, of the people that I've contacted personally, and of course, I've gotten a lot of recorded messages, but of the people that I've spoken to, yeah. The overwhelming majority of them are out there getting signatures.
Wow.
Now, I've spoken to people that have gotten 20, 30, 40,
oh,
50.
Man. Praise
now,
the Lord.
One signature turns into 50 signatures
wow.
with one or two questions.
That's awesome.
And it's just, if
do
we
you
want to
see this? Do you want to see this question on the ballot?
Do you want to see this question on the ballot?
Yeah, I do.
Do you really want to see this question on the ballot in November? Do you really want to?
Yeah, I
if
do.
If they answered yes that second time, the chances of them saying yes, will you help us get this question on the ballot by taking a petition of your own
yeah.
and asking your pastor, your priest, your neighbors, your nieces, your nephews, will you ask them to sign to help us get this question on the ballot?
So that's
it's
the
that
key.
Simple.
That's the key. We are an army. Of thousands.
Yeah.
And here in the final, how many days? Let's see, we've got the 30th.
9 days.
And we've got 9 days, okay? So in the final 9 days, we really need to multiply our efforts.
Yes.
And the way to do that is to get petitions out. So let me remind everyone, if you're out there gathering petitions.
Colorado Right to Life number.
Send in your petitions today. Get them notarized. Send them in. To the address on the front page of each petition.
That's an Arvada address.
Yep. And call Colorado Right to Life to get more petitions. Their number's 303-753-9394. And you can go to ColoradoRightToLife.com to get all the information on contacting Colorado Right to Life and getting more petitions in your hand.
Doug, what do you do, though, if you are asking people to sign? You're standing in front of a grocery store, or you're in front of a state fair or at a gun show, or you're in the back of a church somewhere, and you ask someone to sign, and they say no. What do you do?
I immediately avert my eyes.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
Now, that's if I'm at a grocery store.
Okay.
Because here's the way I figure it.
Right.
Now, I may be wrong or right.
Yeah.
That's why I brought you in the studio, because I've been impressed with your efforts. So at a grocery store, I figure there's a bigger issue. I don't want to be kicked off the property because
yeah.
then I can't gather signatures anymore. And so I don't typically engage in a debate at a grocery store. Now, if I'm at another public place and I'm not on private property,
yeah.
well, that's a bit of a different story. I still, if someone says no, I'm typically not going to engage them, but quite often they will say more than no. They will say, no, stop forcing your religious views down other people's throat. And so when they say something like that, now I feel like they've tendered an invitation to debate.
Yeah.
And so quite often I will simply challenge them and I'll ask them, so you tell me when life begins.
Yeah.
And invariably they'll say, I don't know.
I made a commitment to thank every single person that I ask if they'll sign my pro-life petition.
Yeah.
I thank every single one.
Oh.
So
Even
if they say no, I thank every single one. And I wasn't able to do that the last go around for the 2008 election.
Yeah.
I would ask people in front of churches to sign, and they would say no, and my blood would start to boil.
Yeah.
But I've realized, thinking it through, how can I be effective doing this?
Because it is a ministry, a witnessing opportunity.
How
right?
can I be effective when I get so angry about this? I'm out of control. I mean, I'm not going to yell and scream at them, but I'm so upset now that I can't talk to other people.
Wow.
And I realized that I need to be effective and get the job done so if I was at work and someone, cut in front of me and they got me angry, they're not going to stop me from doing my job.
Right.
So I can't let these people stop me from doing my job. And then learning from people who protest down at the mill in Denver, in Quebec, learning from them, love these people.
There you go.
So I've been, on this ladder, on this slow ladder up, taking steps higher and higher, learning from people who have been doing this a lot longer than I have been doing. And I've been thanking the people that'll say no, because I know they're mixed up.
So a smile and a thank you.
Yeah, that's what I do. And I will engage them in debate if they're willing to, and it's not going to get me kicked off the
right.
site where I'm at.
Right.
The most important thing is I'm there to get signatures, and I'm there to get other people involved in this effort.
Very good.
That's the two things. But if they want to debate and there's not a lot of people around, I'd love to debate with them. And what I find is the pro-abortion people are not willing to debate.
Typically, they are not.
They are not willing to debate. If you talk to 1,000 people, you might find one pro-abortion person that'll stand there and
want to argue. Right.
Or maybe not.
No.
But people who are on the fence and are pro-life exceptions.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of those. People who look at it and they say, I'm not sure if I'm willing to go that far.
Life of the mother.
Life of the mother,
I hear.
What if she's raped? What about the life? I've heard that question.
Yeah.
What a fabulous opportunity that is to briefly.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who came up with the line, whether it was you or our friend Scott. And I've used it a number of times, so I do want to give credit. Telling people that the reason you're not sure is because there's a struggle going on between your spirit and your flesh.
That's Scott.
What a tremendous, just a great line to make people confront the fact that they're confused.
Yeah.
And really to let them know that they do know the right thing to do. It's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
They just need to reach down and lift up the layers of flesh that are holding them back and just do the right thing. I've gotten through to a number of people that way, and it's been an amazing blessing. Man, it's been really
I've
awesome.
Had some conversations with people that I just say, this is – you can't compare personhood petitioning to the Super Bowl. You can't compare it to a day of fishing. Mm. To me, it's the greatest thing. It was scary at first when I first started it. It was scary. But it's just gotten better and better because you have conversations with people that are not only could be life changing, but you have conversations with people that could affect
eternity. Amazing.
And amazing. We're not talking about throwing a football around a stadium.
No. Now we're almost out of time.
All right.
So let's make sure those of you who don't yet have a petition. If you think you want to do it, well, call us here at Bob and Yart Live. You can call us and we'll tell you how to do it. We'll show you how to do it. We'll even go out there with you.
What's the number?
800-836-9278. That's Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-836-9278. Now, the number to get a petition, and if you don't already have one, you need to get one. If you've got one that you've got some signatures on, you need to get it notarized, get it turned in, and get another one on its way to you. It's 303-753-9394. That's Colorado Right to Life. You can go to coloradorighttolife.com. Get information on contacting them there. Or call them directly at 303-753-9394. Before we run out of time, Brian, I want to talk about why we're doing this, one of the reasons. It's a story out of Queens from the New York Daily News. Detectives are in Queens are investigating a clinic where a 37-year-old woman was fatally injured while undergoing an abortion.
Now, I see signs that say keep abortion safe and legal.
Safe and legal.
So,
right.
So what's that?
Well, in this case, this woman, Alexandra Nunez, she was at a clinic, the A1 Medicine, it's called.
A1 Medicine.
It's a one-stop plastic surgery and gynecology clinic, if you can imagine that, there in Queens. You know, when you legalize the killing of innocent children, there's no telling what kind of seedy environments crop up. Now, our adversary claims that abortion is safe and it's clean and it's in a surgical environment. Well, here in Queens at the A1 Medicine, a one-stop gynecology and plastic surgery clinic, Alexandra Nunez went in. She was undergoing a surgical abortion when an artery was inadvertently severed, and she went into cardiac arrest.
Well, I'm sure that they treated her, and she's okay today, right, Doug?
No, she died.
Oh, from an abortion?
She died from an abortion. Yes,
wow.
She had told her family. Now, listen to this. Now, if abortion is a right, aren't you generally proud when you exercise your rights?
Yes.
Well, listen to what she told her family. She told her family she was going to a doctor's office in Newark to have a cyst removed.
A cyst.
So she lied to her family, and she went to the A1 one-stop plastic surgery and gynecological facility for an abortion. An artery was severed. She went into cardiac arrest. She was rushed to the hospital, where she later died. Now, detectives called the clinic, and an employee at the clinic said that everything had gone well with Alexandra Nunez's abortion. And how did this employee at the clinic know everything had gone well? The employee said the patient was transferred to the hospital. She didn't die at our clinic. Everything went fine at our clinic. So here's a woman. Now, a baby was murdered here. Now this woman was slaughtered by medical negligence in a seedy, shadowy, underground world of abortion that's legally above ground, but the practice is amongst the most untalented loser doctors on the planet. They become abortionists, and they run these seedy little clinics. And what we want to do is we want to protect the unborn child by declaring it a person, and we want to protect mothers from even considering going in to a house of death to have their child slaughtered and brutally physically torn from their womb and ripped to shreds.
I'm going out to get some signatures, Doug. How about you?
As soon as I wrap up here, I'm on my way out to an undisclosed location, and I'm challenging myself to not only get signatures, but to hand out at least one blank petition. You can do the same. Call and get a petition.
Thank you.
Colorado Right to Life, 303-753-9394. God bless you.